We are focusing on everything that brings value. So we have projects in the investment area, we have projects in costing area, we have projects in performance management area. So it is not just on a particular direction. All good ideas are more than accepted and welcome.
Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy. I'm CEO and co-founder at procurementexpress.com. We take the hassle out of managing your company's spend with magical features, but that is not why we are here today. Today, I've invited Lucien Morano from Renault's Finance Digital Software Hub to talk to us about finance and innovation, two words that don't always sit together naturally, and Renault is taking it very seriously and taking a different approach to making sure that digital transformation can make an impact for its own business, very large business, very successful business. So Lucien, thank you very much for coming along today. We met at the EBCG forum in Prague a couple of months ago, and I wanted to just say thank you briefly to Jana for introducing us. Maybe you could just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about where you are in the world today.
Thank you, James. And indeed, it was a great occasion to meet in Prague at the CFO forum. So I'm in charge of the Digital Finance Hub in Renault, which is based in Romania. We are speaking about more than 160 people that are working for doing finance innovation inside Renault. It's a team that was created in the last 5 years, step by step, greenfield, starting from zero. And each year we are managing together with our stakeholders in France to bring new ideas, to recruit new people, to develop new projects, to adopt new technologies, and for sure to bring added value to our internal partners, to our customers in France.
And this is a group that you personally were involved in creating from the start. So tell us, how did it come to be? How did it get started? Why did Renault decide to invest in this? It's pretty a big investment. And tell us the origin story of the hub itself.
The story starts in 2018 when we built a digital finance roadmap so ambitious for the next 5 years. And we had the questions where we are going to create the deployment team. Is it going to be in France? Is it going to be in the other countries? And for several reasons, Romania was decided to be the country where to create this hub. And maybe you know, in Romania, they have very good language skills. They have very good technological skills. There are a lot of also big companies that are installed there. No problem with the internet connection. So here it goes with the decision. Let's start in Romania. And I was honored to receive this challenge from my bosses at that time. I was feeling, as I was saying, honored and very enthusiastic in the meantime, because if you look in my CV, I had my first company when I was around 20 years old. So right now, 15, 17 years later, I was feeling the same energy to have the occasion to create a company from scratch. So even though it is inside of the big organization and the great organization Renault, we had the occasion to do this the greenfield company, starting step by step, with new processes, with new approaches, with new people, with great enthusiasm, and by the end of the day, also with great results.
So I see that entrepreneurial stripe in your CV. Sometimes I think it's a curse, but sometimes it's to have that. But so, how does it work in Renault? Was it decided? You know, you mentioned that this was a general strategy. Was this something you had to push and promote personally? Were you competing against other locations? Or was it a very sort of, it was just a line on a spreadsheet saying, well, there's great value in in Romania and the answer is done, or was it more complicated than that?
Indeed, it was not. It was the first decision to do it in France or in the other countries, and the decision was to do it in the other countries. And after that, there were also other countries that were creating their file and explaining what are the advantages comparing to the other. So indeed, I, together with my boss at that moment, we were building the file and explaining why Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we convinced, and everything that we have promised, we keep our promises, and we are still continuing to do interesting things for our corporate stakeholders.
Okay, so it's like the Olympics. You had to bid, all the countries were there, and you won. Well, congratulations on that. So well done, Romania. Second point is, why do you need a software hub for finance particularly? Why not just a general innovation hub, or where's the opportunity there to focus on finance, and what makes it special?
First of all, I think it's very connected to the big size of the company. When the company is very big, maybe from time to time you have processes that are not similar with other organizations. So you find yourself on the market, and when you are doing the make or buy analysis, maybe you don't have sufficient solution for the buy approach. So you realize you have to create it on your own, and you will have for sure maybe some costs on at the beginning. But you know, it's when you're it's like when you're buying a customer, it's for yourself, it's tailor made, or you just take it from the shelf. Most of the time, if you build something for yourself, it will for sure correspond at 200% of your needs, and it will bring you value right away. But for sure, it involves to have internal competencies, to know processes, to know exactly where you want to head to make investments, because everything it represents a cost at the beginning, and after that it becomes a benefit.
And how many projects are you running in the hub at the moment, and how many people are working there?
We started from zero, as I was saying. Now there are 23 projects that are in the hub, so it's quite consistent. And just on finance, there are 160 people, and it's growing.
And would they all have a finance background, or could it be a mix of competencies?
No, just to understand, we have 17 different type of profiles. So we have everything that is need to be in order to be fully autonomous in software development. We have architects, we have analysts, we have UI UX, we have developers, we have SAP experts, we have data experts, so 17 different type of profiles, all great people with great spirit, with great initiatives, and with some agility on top of that, they manage to work together and to surprise with their great results.
So that structure is interesting. 23 projects, roughly 150 people. So on average, it's a sort of a five-man team. Have you played with that number, or?
Actually, it depends very much on the technology. We are doing Java, we are doing spot data visualization, we are doing also EPM technology and consolidation technology. It depends a lot on the type of the project. For instance, the standard Java projects, they may reach to 8 or even 10 people, because this is the normal way. You need an analyst, you need to front-end developers, you need back-end developers. But for data visualization projects, there may be teams with 2 or 3 people that are bringing also value, because it's a different way of developing. So it depends so much on the technology that that is used for each project.
In a standard, let's say on a finance team, they might have a need to do an integration, or let's say a visualization, a dashboard or something, and that's kind of line of business. What's the difference between sort of quote-unquote ordinary projects, just operational projects you might want to run, and the type of projects that you take on or fund?
I would say the big difference is that we are working with the latest technology, and we are trying to combine artificial intelligence, and this is very important. So it's not just standard automatization project. That for sure brings value, but when you're bringing new technology, when you're bringing agility, when you're every day looking on what's happening on the technical market, and you are trying to integrate this into your projects, value comes much more easy and much more consistent.
Right. Okay. So this is I'm guessing then you invest, you have technologists who are looking at a broad sphere. And then do you have people on staff who are competing to start projects, or where did the idea stage for these projects come from?
Normally, we are organized with what is called initiatives or value streams, which allows us to synchronize the idea from the head and until the end of the idea. Because if you go project by project and say, okay, I would like to make an efficientization here, but anyhow, that efficientization is not alone. It is connected to a different function inside the organization, which is not finance, which may be industry, which may be logistics, it may be so on, so on. So this approach, I think, is very, very helpful inside of the group, that each time when we want to do efficientization, we are studying the process from head until the end. So the ideas are coming inside those value streams, where we are creating roadmaps and we are drawing what we want to do in the next years. And after that, we just go for the execution, for sure, comparing the value that is brought by each initiative, comparing the efforts that they need to be added.
So it sounds like a little bit like on European projects, where they have like a sort of calls for technology that can support a particular value stream. Then people say, okay, so give me an example. What would be a typical value stream that would be a focus at the moment?
Let's say the cost management, or I would say a particular attention for all the costs that we are having. So each time when there is an initiative like this, for sure, you have to look at all the details. Being in a automotive industry, there are so many variables that can be around you, from labor cost, from, I don't know, electronic crisis, for the cost of raw materials and so on. So it is important to take into consideration all those aspects. And when you're creating the initiative, you look at all these things and you see how they are impacting their global results. And with the application that you're providing, that you want to develop, you try to make efficientization and to make additional forecasts, to bring new data from the market or from where it exists in that moment. And as I was saying, to try to efficientize the final results.
You know, for me, this is the key part, like putting your ladder against the right wall, like figuring out what actually would deliver value is the hard part these days, especially with AI, like writing the code, not as hard as it used to be, you know, like making it happen. You can almost make anything happen you want to, but picking the thing to work on first, that's the hard part, right? That's the magic piece. So I see you have value streams and initiatives and a broad heading. And then can anyone in Renault or outside Renault or intern from Renault, can anyone say, oh, hey, I think we should start looking at this? Or are there dedicated people on staff who are actually trying to map the two, what's happening in technology and what these broad value streams are?
For sure, there are, let's say, owner and sponsor of the value streams, and they are helping us with the global guidance. But all the people that are involved in a particular function inside the group, they have the occasion to go and to speak with this business process owner, let's say, and explain his ideas or his global needs, and to see how his initiative can fit into the global roadmap. And after that, for sure, there are decisions to be taken. We're going to deploy, and if it's the case. But I would say all good ideas are more than accepted and welcome.
So they can come from anywhere within the organization, sounds like, and everyone can get part of it. That sounds pretty exciting. So then I'm just curious about, like, finance in particular, like is there something unusual about finance is it mainly the accounting or ERP or information technology that you focus on? So you wouldn't get into robotics, for example. Is that the difference between your hub and maybe, I guess there's other innovation hubs within Renault as well?
We are focusing on everything that brings value. So we have projects in the investment area, we have projects in costing area, we have projects in performance management area. So it is not just on a particular direction. And this is helping us also to understand the global picture of finance, not to focus just on a particular time. So it's more on the initiative approach that I was sharing with you earlier, to look 360 degrees and to see how you can involve. And I have one idea. Sorry for coming back to your previous question. You said about if everyone can have ideas, how they can how they can promote these ideas and how they can be integrated. I would give one example. Before creating this hub, when we wanted to create the digital appetite inside the organization. Now, you know, we have created what it was called the Digital Passion Club. So it was just a community of people that on top of their current job, they say, okay, I want to be in contact in technology. And I had the occasion to be one of the co-founder. In just a few months, we managed to have internal more than 1,000 followers. We were inviting them to a special occasion. We were putting them into contact with different suppliers that were they're bringing, I don't know, ideas about smart logistics, about Google Glasses, about beacons, about everything that was interesting on the industry, let's say. And our colleagues from the Digital Passion Club, they say, okay, this process can be very helpful for me in the area where I work, sorry. So I want to create a POC with this supplier. Am I allowed to do it? So we somehow create this approach of win fast or fail fast culture. We are giving them the chance to play with the technology. And you know, when you are doing that, when you create that with Digital Passion Club, you create the digital mindset inside your organization, and everyone is feeling that, okay, if I want to put in place the great idea that I am having, I will have the support from the management. Okay, from time to time, as I was saying, it will be win fast or fail fast, or anyhow, it's not the priority of the organization, even though if we notice one POC, it's good for that moment. But I think this is the best, the basis for all the organization. As soon as they manage to create the digital enthusiast inside, it's amazing, because you will have ideas from your coworkers that you probably never thought before, and it's much more valuable than just top-down approach. And you know, I remember one of well-known CEO in the company in the world. I would not give names. Now they are unfortunately on bankruptcy. They were very good on the market, and the CEO was saying, "We lost everything, even though somehow we didn't do anything wrong." But actually, what they didn't do anything wrong, it was the fact that they were not culturing they are not growing this culture of being close to the market, of being focused to digitalization, observing what is happening around, and so on and so on. So that's the story of the one of the biggest company in the market. As I was saying, I would not give names, but for sure, exactly this approach. We were failing, but we were not doing anything wrong. for sure, it will allow you to see about what the company it's about.
Well, you mentioned something there, which is enthusiasm, or you mentioned the passion club, the technology, digital passion club. And actually, that's the human part of it. It's all very well at a high level, but you need an enthusiasm, enough enthusiasm to get up and push these projects into reality, you know? And I mean, something we struggle with a bit, and I'd be interested to hear about how you deal with this, is that we have an enthusiasm. We said, okay, AI is great, we're going to do an AI thing, and we do a POC, and then we suddenly there's a phase where we realize, oh, actually this is a little bit more complicated than I thought it was, and it starts to get trickier, it starts to get harder, and then your enthusiasm dips because you realize you go from uninformed optimism to informed pessimism, and then pushing through that gap to actually delivering value is like a valley of death, you know, between the technology enthusiasm for what it could do, the reality of how hard it is to do, and getting through to the other side of that to actually delivering value. So have you experienced that at all? Something you think, oh, this is going to be amazing, and then suddenly the detail bog you down and everything dies. How do you combat against that?
This may happen. By the way, you know, there is a big percentage of digitalization projects that are not used. I'm not speaking about, I know worldwide, if you're looking for the percentage of the IT project that were developed and they are not used, it is amazing, meaning it's a big effort that was put in place. And by the end of the day, there's no payback. So I think what is important is while we are noticing there's something interesting on the technology that we want to adopt, and we are projecting ourselves on how to take this and to put inside of the way of working, is to readapt the processes inside the organization. So when we are efficientizing the processing and the processes and introducing also the technology, even though if we face this kind of disappointment that you were speaking earlier, like it's not that easy, at least you see the light at the end of the tunnel, the fact that your processes will be much more easy, efficientized, much more smooth. So when you're focusing like this, the technology is just a leverage to reach there. So it's much more easy to see, okay, it's hard. I didn't expect to be so complex, but what is my final target? Not just to bring new technology, to make these things more efficient. So for sure, with this technology or with the other one, anyhow, we have to go further.
Yeah, because sometimes we build something, we bring it out to the market, and then everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face, like Mike Tyson used to say. So and then you realize, oh, actually, we didn't really think of it. And that readapting part is what we're trying to get better at as well. It's like, okay, you actually getting it into market, getting into production is often just the first stage. And it takes several iterations after that to keep going, you know?
Change management is a must also.
Right.
So you have the project, you efficientize your process, but change management, explaining to the users, following the adoption of your product and so on and so on, this is also an important step that we need to take into consideration into digitalization projects.
Maybe we could talk about a favorite project or a successful project that got it right. I have loads of examples of things we've done which have not gone anywhere, but what's your favorite project which, you know, really managed to make an impact or is looking well so far?
I'll try to think of something which is not so confidential, so it can be shared with the public. I would just give a general examples about supplying chains for each part. Imagine we have a lot of factories in worldwide. We have common parts that are used to be built in different factories in the world. And we have the same suppliers that can be smarter than us, saying, okay, I'm based here, but I'm selling this part with 8 euros to the factory in Romania, and with, I don't know, 20 euros for the factory in the next countries, even though my logistics costs are not an explanation for this difference of price. So with just small algorithm of machine learning, artificial intelligence, the system can automatically combine all the information from commercial area, all the information from engineering, saying, knowing what parts on what vehicle, and with the some information from logistics, and at the end of the day, to propose to your team and say, okay, you have, I don't know, 2,000 parts, where you can win many million euros just calling your supplier and say, okay, are you able to explain me why we have this situation and there's big gap? Normally, imagine for this kind of volume, if you don't have an application, you will need, first of all, a big team to mullionate Excels and so on. You will need transversal team, you will need different kind of competencies. And so maybe this will not become a process. This will become something that you run once every 6 months and that's it. With an application that we have put it on place, this was becoming a process. So every day, our colleagues in the industrial and in the commercial area, they just gather together in a meeting room. They open the application and they look at the Pareto and they say, what are the first 5 parts that we have to optimize today? And the system is giving the opportunity and some inputs, and they just have to decide if those will be the parts that they will tackle with the supplier, with the engineering. What before was done every 6 months with a big team and with a lot of energy. Now it's our people, they are not so involved in gathering figures and synchronizing them. They are much more involved in taking action based on the figures that the application is displaying. So I love this project because it was bringing fantastic value in such a short time. And nevertheless, because it's also involved in the process, in the current process, so it really serves our partners in business.
Yeah, and at scale, there's just so much data. Humans are, it's not possible for them to get it all into their brain, right? But the computers can do it. Yeah.
The data indeed is a topic for everyone. Data usage and data quality, there are two interesting indicators that every organization should follow closely.
So you have big plans for expansion in the hub. What sort of people are you looking for to join your team over the next? I believe you can tell us a bit about your targets and how it's going to grow and what sort of people you're looking for to attract into the hub.
First of all, we are looking for open-minded people because, you know, technology, if you already have a technological background and maybe you do not fit 200% with the profile that we are looking for, but you have great bases, you have anyhow a technical background and you have good intention, let's say you are open mind, for sure we will help you to learn and to be a part of the team. So on top of the technology that we are looking for, the people that we invite to join our team are open mind person, creative one. They you know the motto is like work hard, play hard, party hard when it's the case.
Yeah, I can't party hard anymore. Now I have kids and a family. I just lucky if I get the first two. Okay, great. So just to round out a little bit, I did a podcast with Steve McLeod. He runs a software business in Spain. And we talked about our sort of business heroes, like the people that we really admire in terms of career. Do you have a business hero or someone that you would love to have a dinner with if you could, anyone in the world? Who do you most admire what they've done?
It's a great question because I have so many ideas. I would like to meet people in the history, I don't know, science people, painters, even philosophers. But if I have to think at somebody, not necessarily being a big fan, but very curious about how he was managing to play his role, I'm thinking about, let's say, Abraham Lincoln, you know, the 16th president of the United States. Imagine he was the president of the United States during the Civil War. He has big political crises. In the meantime, he was the one that was abolishing the slavery, which I think it very was very challenging for that moment. And by the end of the day, doing a great job for the United States. It's a pity 4 years later he was killed. This may happen. But anyhow, if I had the occasion to have a dinner, I would be curious about how he was managing to do all that almost 150 years before.
Yeah, when men were men, all those old American presidents, they shot bears in the morning and then they wrote the Constitution in the afternoon. It was very difficult. All right. Thank you very much for telling us about the hub. It's very interesting. You know, we work with tiny, small companies, but it was interesting to hear some of the similar challenges, just trying to figure out what to build in the first place. And congratulations on the hub. It sounds like a big success. If people want to apply or get in touch with you, how can they best get in touch with you?
We are we noticed that what is very important for the hub to grow and to develop is to create this brand of the market in the market. So we are very present on LinkedIn, digital hub or in Romania. Each time when we have new opportunities, we are making new announcements about different events where we were present. And each time when we have new jobs, we are also making big publicity on LinkedIn. So I think this is the main way to join. And for sure, there is the career site, the special career site for Renault, which is gathering all the opportunities that we have inside the group. I'm encouraging everyone that want to make a change to have a look on our Renault career sites, because you know, industry automotive, it's so diverse and so big that there are no kind of jobs that cannot be found into this industry. So they will have the occasion to work in a company where they can develop themselves in whatever direction they want to.
Automotive is really changing fast. Everyone can see that, and there's a lot of opportunity if you like that. Great, Lucien. Well, thank you very much for listening to this chat. I hope you found it good. I am looking for other finance professionals, fractional CFOs, software owners to come on and be a guest on the show. But until the next one, thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.